Deuteronomy, I have to repeat it for the recorder, 33 chapter or verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And then he goes on to add, because of that, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Who's the enemy? Satan. Amen? And he will destroy him, and he will thrust out before him. Why? Because we are under the everlasting arms. We are surrounded by the everlasting arms. Praise God. Let's look at the context, as always. Moses was about to go home to be with the Lord, not allowed to enter the promised land. Yes. And everybody said amen. Because of his transgression against God. We read about it in Numbers chapter 20. He not only misrepresented the God of glory to the Israelites, but he misrepresented Christ Jesus, the future. He was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. He misrepresented the coming Christ. He'd once struck a rock, remember?
Yeah.
From which God caused water to flow, as God had instructed, strike it, and water flowed, and it represented not only the water that gave the Israelites sustenance, but the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And salvation, and all that flows from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
It was a type of Jesus being crucified, struck. That salvation and the Holy Spirit might flow. But later, he was told by God in Numbers chapter 20, if you want to read it, to speak to the rock, and water would come forth. He didn't speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck it twice in anger, misrepresenting not just God, but the typology of the coming Savior. He was struck once. From now on, you speak to him. You speak to Jesus.
That's right.
You pray to him. You talk to him, and he will allow the Holy Spirit to flow in your life. You don't strike anymore. He was struck once. That's it. You know how important that is? In the mind of God, that he would allow Moses, whom he had used for 120 years, to not enter the promised land because of misrepresenting him before the people. Do you know how important it is for us to represent God properly before other people? You know, some people were here when I, you know, preached at Elizabeth's funeral. I hate funerals because I've done probably 150 funerals at least in my ministry. And I see those flowers, you know, they gave me flowers. I was going to bring him and I said, no, I'm going to throw them out. Don't want them. Because the smell of flowers with me mingles with the smell of, you know, that formaldehyde death thing. Because most of them are done in funeral homes rather than churches. And I've gotten to the point where I hate the smell of flowers. You know, because it smells of death to me. And here is the same issue with Moses. You can't misrepresent me before people, you know? But at the same time that I hate the smell and everything else associated with a funeral, what I love is the fact that people are vulnerable and people are thinking of death and eternal issues. And they're seeing, you know, I would not have left the casket open, but that was the family's decision. With Elizabeth, you know, they're associating this with, gee, you know, there's something going on here that is beyond where I'm at. And I love the fact of being able to preach the gospel to people who are in that place of vulnerability. And I've never hesitated to do it. You know, I did it once. I hesitated once. I think it was my second or third funeral. And God led me to Jeremiah 1, where he said, you know, if you deny me before people, you're in a lot of trouble. And from then on, he said, fear not their faces. And I have not feared anybody's face. You notice that the people at funerals who want the least to do with the truth of it sit in the back. And, you know, all those teenagers were in the back and everything else. But you preach the gospel, you know. You tell them about heaven. God gave me that pattern. You tell them about heaven and how great it is. And then what do? You tell them there's only one way to get there. One way. And that's the pattern that God has given unto me. Praise be to God. And it works, you know. I'm going to divert here, as I sometimes do. But I got called, you know that Jewish funeral home in Monticello? I forget the name of it. Gorlitz or Gerl or something. They couldn't find a rabbi. So the guy called me.
All right. Go with
it. To do a funeral. And what did God put on my heart? But I'm talking here, you know, I'm going through my routine and, you know, preaching and everything. And I'm sensing that God is putting on my heart that you can't kill yourself. And what do I find out afterwards, after I got done with the funeral service?
Killed himself.
That the person had killed himself. Because God put it upon my heart. And you know what? A Jewish woman came up to me and she said, I don't know how you knew that. I don't know. You know, I don't accept everything you said, but you sure got my interest. Now, what happened with her? I have no idea. Never seen her since. You got my interest. How did I get her interest? By preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At a Jewish funeral. They reject the Messiah. Benito. They don't accept it, do they? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God can cut through anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And here is Moses pronouncing blessings upon the tribes of Israel. But this particular blessing holds a special place for old and new covenant believers alike. Why? Because it's all inclusive. It's a blessing upon all those who put their trust in God, whether old or new covenant. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise be to God. Turn to Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8, a psalm of David. He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We sing that, don't we? I shall not be moved. Praise be to God. And by reverencing him in our conversation, thoughts, and deeds toward others, that no dishonor come upon his name.
Yes.
You know, I shared this scripture Thursday at Elizabeth's funeral. Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Praise be to God. I want to be among that pile of jewels, don't you?
Yes.
Praise be to God. And I'm not a jewel because of me. I'm a jewel because of him.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Back to Psalm 16:8. Talks about the right hand of God.
Where?
Psalm 16:8. Because he is at my right hand. I'm going to give you a number of scriptures. Psalm 89:13. The right hand speaks of, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Praise be to God. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 6. I don't know whether, you know, to wait until you look them up, or if I should just read them or what. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. You know, I'm right-handed. Can you imagine the right hand of God? How powerful that is. Fortunately, Lucille is left-handed. She doesn't have that kind of power. But I'm only teasing. She's left-handed. The right hand speaks of power, but safety. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The right hand speaks of honor. Psalm 45, verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. The right hand speaks of pleasure. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt, and I'll pronounce this like Walt does, shew me path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise be to God. At the right hand of God is favor. Psalm 80, verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And at the right hand is support. Psalm 18, verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great.
Wow. So what number was it? 18 what?
Psalm 18, 35.
Okay, thank you.
And I put in parentheses there, thy discipline and instruction have prepared me for the great work that you have for me. Knowing these promises and rehearsing them in our minds, we, like David, can say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Why? Because our lives are founded upon and builded upon the rock. God took us, what is that, Jack?
NASA lifted us up.
What did he take us from, though?
Miry clay.
Out of the miry clay.
Miry clay. Out of the miry clay. And set us upon a rock. Praise be to God. Isaiah 26:4. One of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, next to Deuteronomy 33:27. 26:4. You know, I have this beautiful edition of the original 1611 Bible. You know, this is the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. 400th anniversary of the authorized King James Version of the Bible. And I have a copy of the 1611 authorized version of the King James Bible. And it says in Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Amen.
And you know what it says in the margin of the 1611 King James Version of the Bible? It says, Rock of Ages. That's what that means. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He is the Rock of Ages. Ever sing that song? Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He, our God, is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Can I put my trust in the Lord God Almighty? In the Rock of Ages? I think I can. You know,
32
verse 4. You know, a rock is something solid and enduring, and Jesus is the rock and our rock forever. Praise be to God. And here we see his sure foundation, his security from all of life's storms and tempests, from all our enemies. He is our refuge now and forever.
Amen.
You're going to bear with me because I have a few more pages to go. You can stick with me. Anybody wants to leave, leave. I understand. You know, I can be wordy. I admit that. But look at some of the references to our rock in both Testaments. Exodus 17, verse 6.
I'm sorry, Exodus.
17:6.
Thank you.
Behold, I, God, will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. God, is there anything more? You know, out of Jesus, our rock, we can drink. We can drink of the waters of life freely. And just drink and drink and drink. You know, I think, I keep thinking of Elizabeth. You know, I'm looking. She's should be next to you and you. You know? But where is she? She's in the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. And she is drinking of the water of life. Can you imagine what her... Did you see the obit, that picture of her?
I know. It was beautiful.
Beautiful. But what she looks like now with her new body and her new face. No wrinkles. No walker. No, none of that stuff.
She's in her heyday.
Yeah.
And she's with the king.
She's beautiful. She is beautiful. And you and I are going to see her again. And she is so beautiful now. And I'm sure she's met my mother and my father. And her sister Mabel. They've been reconciled, you know. Remember Mabel?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the state she is in now? Do you think she's regretting? Oh my goodness, I wish I could be back down there. No, I don't think so.
I don't see that happen.
No, I don't think so. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 33.
Exodus 33.
Jack likes this scripture. I know he does.
Not the old
21 to 23. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock,
amen,
and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know what that means? It means that God was willing to show his non-consuming parts. You know, if you or I were to appear before God right now in our current state of sinfulness and sinful body, we'd be consumed like that. Boom. Absolutely destroyed. So what does God do? He says, I'll show you my non-consuming parts. My love, my mercy, my glory, all the good things. But until you get transformed, like Elizabeth has now been transformed, she can see his face. You and I can't see his face. Because we're still in these sinful bodies. She now has a transformed body, so she can look in his face and not be consumed. Do you understand that, what I'm saying there?
Sure.
His non-consuming attributes. And there are the consuming attributes, whereby no one could look in his face. Not even Moses. Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. You know, only in our resurrected bodies are we going to be able to actually approach God and see Him as He is. And isn't it fantastic that He gave us the capacity to eventually have resurrected bodies that will be able to see Him as He is? You know, John said it in 1 John. We'll see Him as He is.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Deuteronomy 32:13. He made him, talking about His people, ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Out of our Lord flows blessings. Praise God. Spiritual nourishment as honey. Refreshment, inspiration, life, and anointing as oil. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a great insight that was. Oh, what a rhema word that was. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, what a sense of just being in the Spirit with you. This moment.
Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. And I just want to jump down, if you're still in Deuteronomy 32, jump down to verse 37. 37. Where we see a contrast with those who are in the world. Verse 37, and he, the Lord, shall say, where are their gods? Their rock in whom they trusted. Where's their rock? They don't have one, do they? I didn't have one when I was in the world. What was my rock?
Sin.
I was drinking.
Yep.
I was taking drugs. I was doing all kinds of nonsense. I was totally divorced from God. That was my rock.
That's right.
And how much good did that rock do me?
You tell us.
None. Now, I've got the rock. I've got the true rock. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. All right. I'll get through this quickly because I got a lot more, and I don't want to, you know, keep you here forever. But Second Samuel 22. Second Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. And he, David, said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, and him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn or strength of my salvation, my high tower or stronghold, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? Kind of covers a lot of ground, you know? Hey, I'll take that one.
Amen.
I'll take that one into myself.
All of it.
Praise God. All right, I'm going to jump here. Jump. Jump, jump, jump. All right. So I'm just going to quote this. Psalm 27, verse 5, the latter part, he shall set me up upon a rock. Praise God. For my safety and my well-being. The Bible talks about a sword bathed in heaven and a shield anointed with oil for battle. Our sword is the Word of God, isn't it? And we need the rhema of heaven to wield it effectively.
Amen.
And of course, our shield is the shield of faith, exercised in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about those times of doubt, confusion, fear that we're sometimes subject to as believers? Have you ever had those?
Amen.
Yeah. I've had them.
It's hard to say.
You know, we sing this all the time, but do we really believe it? Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Praise be to God. You know, we call ourselves more than conquerors, but at times I feel less than a conqueror. I don't know about you. I'm not there 100% of the time. You know? Hey, I pastor a church. I'm a minister. I'm more than a conqueror. Well, I just woke up this morning and felt like I was ground into the dirt. No, I didn't feel like it. I don't feel like more than a conqueror today. So what do? I act like David, you know?
That's right.
At Ziklag, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I know you are my conqueror and my deliverer. I know you are more than I could possibly comprehend, and I put my trust in you. Lift me up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What else can I do?
Yeah.
There's where it's at. All right. I'll shut this down. I got so much. All right. One more scripture. Matthew 7. Make it Luke.
Luke.
We'll go to his version. Luke 6. Luke 6, verses 47 and 48. Jesus says, "Whosoever cometh to me," that speaks of salvation, doesn't it? "And heareth my sayings," or receives my instructions, "and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock."
Oh,
praise be to God. He contrasted it with the man who built his house upon the earth. Unworldly principles. You know, there are some good worldly principles. Yeah. Do right by your neighbor, you know, do good deeds, and, you know, be nice to people you come in contact with and all that stuff. But it's not going to avail when the streams beat vehemently upon your house. But it says the obedient digged deep. To me, that's the key phrase in that whole
Amen.
Narrative. Dig deep. It speaks of full surrender. It speaks of not withholding anything from the Lord. It means seeking out the truth of God's Word and applying it directly to our lives. It speaks of getting in there. You know? It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations that God lays down. Because he knows by the works of the law, we can't be justified. I can't keep the law. You know? My mind is always going in ways that it shouldn't. And I try to bring it under control. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. Rather, he wants us to trust in his grace and the power of his Spirit to align our attitudes with his.
Yes.
And that can only be done by our willingness and his empowerment.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Praise
That's
be
right.
to God.
Praise
God. You know, we're completely dependent on his grace.
That's right.
Amen.
And we need to know that he loves us even when we mess up.
Amen.
I mess up.
Yes. And I mess up.
I don't come before you as someone who pretends to be perfect. No way. You know, God chose me to stand behind this pulpit and preach. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. God knows I'm not. You know, Watchman Nee, I know I've told this story before, but he tells a story about a new convert who came to see him in a very distressed state. And he said, "No matter how much I pray," he said, "no matter how I try, I simply can't seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." And Watchman Nee said to the man, "You see this dog here? He's my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He's always obedient. He's a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws it around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir." You are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you that he died. And we all make messes, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We all make messes. But who's the heir? You and me. Praise be to God. Not because of our righteousness, but because of God's grace. Hallelujah. All right, I'll get down. I'll skip. David said, I shall not be moved. How could he say that? Because he knew his God. And more importantly, he knew his place in God's bigger picture. You know, there's a big picture here.
That's right.
It's not just a matter of your and my salvation, which to me is fine. I'll take that. But there's a bigger picture here. There's a whole world that needs salvation, that needs redemption, that needs transformation. It's not just about me. Praise be to God. All right, let me cut to the chase here. Hallelujah. I still got pages to go. Praise be to God. Psalm 16. We've been there.
Yes, we have.
Verse 9. B. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Praise be to God. David knew of God's ultimate triumph over travail and tragedy. How? Trusting in both the Word of God and the God of the Word.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I got pages left to go, but I'm going to stop it there because I could keep you there here all afternoon. And it's Mother's Day, and you got things to do, and people to see, and places to go.
We'll blame it on Mother's Day, but you know, it's going pretty good for me. I'm right at home with this one.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you are in relation to us, and what we are in relation to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Father, we just put our lives in your hands. We thank you that they're not in our hands anymore, Lord. We gave them up, even if only partially, as we continue in the faith unto you, but we trust in the end that you have our lives in your hands.
Yes.
Praise be to God. And that you're going to get us there to the exact place at the exact time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Hallelujah. We'll close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Pray that I can put my guitar together. That's a $1,500 guitar.
You didn't blow it up, did you?
No, but I broke the plastic thing that holds the battery inside.
And 6 cents to get it working.
I'm
I'm coming.
Good, good, good.
I'm slow. Shout to the Lord.
Thank you that you are a rock that cannot be moved, and that we are standing on the rock of our salvation. We thank you that you called us to come to the rock, and we thank you for sending your Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we have been abiding in him. We are abiding in him, and he's in our hearts, and we have the hope of the mystery of the kingdom within us, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you've given us the promise of the Holy Spirit. and we are steadfast in you. And we are growing even more and more steadfast. But you are the faithful one. You are utterly faithful, more faithful than anybody can know the definition of the word faithful. You stand, and just hearing pastors relating just a few of the scriptures regarding your faithfulness, how steady you are, how firm you are, how you cannot be moved, and as long as we're on you, we're in a good place. We're in a place where there is no concern. We love you, Lord. We love you for that. And you have called us to be children of faith, and we are, because we have been born of you, and you are the faithful one. And since we are born of you, and you are the faithful one, we are faithful too. And so we pray, Father, and enable us as we grow and abide in you, just to become more and more like you, Father, more and more faithful, that others might see the light of the hope of the glory that's in our faces, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that rock of our salvation. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for all the blessings that were related this morning, which are just a handful of them, but there are so many right then and there that if we went back and looked at these, we would be just built up, and walking in more and more of the newness of life that you have for each of your children. So I pray, Father, you enable us, Lord, quicken us by your Spirit to walk in that faith and to be faithful to you and to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors, to those we come in contact with, that we would be like our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I want to ask you for...